In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The perfect example of faith is an infant. The perfect example of your faith is that little child who cannot even hold up his head. Of such is the kingdom of God. Does it matter that he can't hold up his head or can't even speak? Christ praises him as the perfect paradigm of your faith. He believes the mysteries of the Trinity without reservation and without question, as he confessed through his sponsors, the Apostles' Creed. He believes he's a sinner, and yet he also believes that the Son of God is David's son and died in his place on the cross and rose so that someday he too might rise with that physical body to live before God forever. He believes in the Holy Spirit, in the forgiveness of sins. He believes that baptism saves, and that Holy Communion is Christ's body and blood given for the forgiveness of sins. Without question and without reservation, these tiny little children in our midst believe, and so are saved. Imitate them. God has not simply put them in this congregation so you have joy, but so that you know what you are to be like. Be like them. For anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like Luke or Wyatt or Frederick will not inherit that kingdom. Be helpless like them. Stop trying to figure everything out. Stop trying to fix everything and simply trust that your Father will take care of you. This is offensive. There's a part of us, perhaps a large part, that doesn't want to hear it. We are proud of who we are and what we've accomplished, and we want others to recognize it, but we also want God to recognize it too. That he should treat us a little bit differently because we have tried our best and have done a fairly good job at it, at least by worldly standards. So we think that we are someone important. So when Christ tells us to be like a little child, it is offensive. Because everything we've worked so hard to accomplish in life means nothing. No one wants to grow up and be a child forever. Children spend the first 20, 30 years of their life seeking independence, wanting to be adults. We'd rather be that official than a little child. We want control. We want to have a say. We want to be able to make decisions. We want freedom. And we want to have the ability to carry out our own desires. So when Christ tells us to be like a little child, there's a part of us that thinks that's the dumbest idea ever. And that just shows how vastly different the kingdom of God is from the kingdoms of this world. The way of God is from our way. That royal official lacked childlike faith. And so he put a timetable on our Lord's help. Come down before it's too late. My son is about to die. If he dies, you would be powerless to help. So come now, do not delay. You cannot heal him from so far away. He didn't believe that Christ could heal him from a distance. He didn't believe that Christ could raise his son from the dead if he had died. He lacked childlike faith. The royal official's job was to fix problems, come up with solutions, and he did just that. The solution, Jesus, you come now and you help me now in the way that I have figured out. He wanted to be in control. We're not above telling God what to do either. We too set up ultimatums for God, testing his love, his patience, his goodness. How can a loving and a gracious God allow so much tragedy and violence and suffering into this world, into our lives? We want to set the standard for God. We want to bend him to our fickle wills. So we come up with plans and solutions and expect God to be on board. Childlike faith flees. as we, too, demand signs and wonders that everything will work out for our good. Perhaps a positive feeling in our heart, perhaps a change in life's direction, something. Something to show me that this cancer or illness will not consume me. Something to show me that my kids will be safe. That this disease will not overcome me. Something to show me that you are my loving and gracious Father. And yet we don't always feel happy, do we? We get scared about the future, not only for ourselves, but for our country. And perhaps like this royal official, our children go through great difficulties and may even die. God doesn't play our game. He doesn't submit to our ultimatums. He will not let us be in control, even for one moment, because he knows where we would end up taking ourselves, straight to hell. So he did not bend to the will of the official, and he will not bend to our ever-changing wills. Again, look at these infants. They do not question God. They do not ask for proof of God's love. They do not force God to submit to their desires, and they are your examples. But out of love and kindness, your Heavenly Father always responds, even to a prayer prayed in weakness of faith. He doesn't ignore the prayers of his children. It just may not be in the way that you desire. And so he rebuked the official and the crowd standing there for wanting signs and wonders. And sometimes that's his answer to us. A rebuke. A rebuke for wanting to take charge of our own lives. All everything we think is great about ourselves, all our plans and solutions and ideas must be stripped off of us. And we must be a child, a little child who cannot even hold up his head. We must submit to him, not he to us. And so he rebukes those he loves, he disciplines those he accepts as sons. A loving father doesn't give in to the whims of his children. And neither does our Father, our Heavenly Father, give in to our ever-changing, short-sighted desires. He reminds us that he is Father, not us. He is God, not us. He is in control of all things, not us. And so he puts us in our place through the preaching of his law, reminding us what we are. He puts us in our place through hardships and difficulties he allows into our life so that we let go of ourselves and we trust solely in his word. So he sends that royal official out with only a word. Go, your son will live. A better translation would be, your son lives. It's a present tense, not a future tense. It could simply mean that your son is living right now, but who knows about tomorrow? And yet that royal official's faith burst into flame as he clung to that promise, that word of God, life. My child has life. Childlike faith lets go of all of his solutions and ideas, and all of that came crashing down because now he has something sure and certain. He has the word of God. Perhaps he believed that Christ would heal his son right then and there. Perhaps like Abraham, who believed that God would raise Isaac, perhaps he simply believed that God would raise him from the dead. Either way, he put everything on that word of Christ. And so God has given to you a simple word also. All your plans, ideas, and solutions must come crashing down before his word. And in childlike faith, we cling to that promise. Go in peace, he says. Go. You live. This isn't a future life. This is a present life which he has given to you already. You are alive in Christ Jesus. You are not dead in your sins. And so you are not headed toward death, regardless of what your body looks like or how you feel. You are not headed toward death, but you are headed toward eternal life. So go your way in peace. His ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not his. Would you have planned salvation as he did? It's unfathomable. And yet 2,000 years ago, it became a reality. God's plan was not to crumple up the paper and toss it out to start over, like ours would be, but to send his son to suffer and die. God's solution was not to destroy his enemies and to save the good people. That would be our plan. God's plan was to send his most beloved son to suffer on the tree of shame for his enemies, for you and for me. It is finished, we hear him cry, and our faith bursts into flame. That death is my death. That resurrection to life is my eternal life. This body cannot remain in a grave, for it is filled with life. So all our knowledge and ideas and solutions and everything else melt away before his cross. It seems so backwards, death so that we may have life. Yet it's the way of God, not our way. So do not try to bend God's will to your will when his will is your eternal salvation. Do not set up ultimatums for God when he wants nothing more than to give you eternal life. Do not make God prove himself to you when he has already given his beloved son into death for you and has given you his word and his sacraments. Let go of yourself and cling solely to him. Doubt not, but believe that he is in full control of your life, and he does know exactly what he's doing. He's given you his word. He's given you even a sign of his love. He's given you the sacraments. So you cannot deny that you are a child of God, for water has touched your head. You cannot deny that you are alive, for life itself has been put into your body through that holy communion. Like the royal official, you do not see this healing right now. You do not see this life in your body. But like that official, you believe that you are alive forever. Like Wyatt and Luke and Frederick, you believe that God has saved you. And God, out of love, has given you proof. He has given you proof that everything will work out for your good. Look at his empty grave. You want proof that your cancer or disease will not consume you? Stare down death's throat and tell me what you see. You want proof that your children will be okay, that this country, that believers will make it safely out? Look at his empty grave. Peer into death's belly, for he is not there, he lives. And then cast your eyes on this altar to see him who once was crucified, now living and present for you. Take and eat. Take and drink. No eye has seen, no mind has heard, no mind has comprehended, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. You cannot even begin to understand just all the blessings that God already has given to you through baptism and the supper. It is unfathomable. And yet in Christ, they are all yours. For like a child, like an infant who can barely see a few feet in front of his face, we cannot see everything that our Heavenly Father can see. But like that child, like that infant who finds comfort and peace in the arms of his protecting father, we too find comfort and peace in the arms of our omnipotent Heavenly Father as we continually rest in his word and receive his sacraments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.